Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Oceanside Community Church's Good Friday service. I'm going to read our scripture text this morning, which is Psalm 22. It is written by King David and is recited by Christ on the cross. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Psalm 22. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by humankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from my mother's womb. You made me trust at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. He has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. This is the word of the Lord. Good Friday, a day of paradox, mystery, and redemption. Today, our Savior comes to us as the man of sorrows and the one acquainted with grief. We retell the story, and history revives our own imagination. And our own stories and our own unfolding history invites us to experience the paradox with Christ. Let me begin by telling you a story. A young man named Jürgen Moltmann was born into Hitler's Germany. As a little boy, he watched Hitler's officers seize his 5-year-old brother and take him away. He had been deemed unfit to contribute to society due to his cognitive disability. The brother was marginalized, dehumanized, and eventually murdered in the name of progress and social cleansing. A few years later, Jürgen was conscripted to fight for this Hitler. And while in the army, he was captured and spent several years in a POW camp in England. It was in this camp that Jürgen came to know and trust Jesus Christ, the Man of Sorrows. Once released, Jürgen sought to embrace the mystery of God and bring that mystery into the lived experience of humanity, exploring what it means to find ourselves made in the image of God. As a theologian, Jürgen became one of the most innovative thinkers of the 20th century, exploring a theology of hope and a theology of play. And along with these delightful revelations of God, Jürgen began to explore a forgotten stream of Christian thought, the mystery of the crucified God. What did it mean for God himself to experience suffering? Theological streams at that time teemed with rationalistic thinking, postulating that opinions and actions can only be based on reason and knowledge, and offered no explanation for a God who redeems our suffering by entering it, by experiencing it and taking it upon himself. Rationalism reduced Christ's work on the cross to a mere transaction. So Jürgen encountered a God who was present in suffering, and it forced him to ask, for we who experience life in God, what does it mean that Christ first experienced our life by participating in our human suffering? Jürgen understood brutal sorrow and loss, and God found him in his deepest suffering. So he wrestled with our deepest questions. Why does God allow suffering? Where was God when I was suffering? In his book, The Crucified God, Jürgen writes, "The God of freedom, the true God, is not recognized by his power and glory in the history of the world, but through his helplessness and his death on the scandal of the cross of Jesus." He goes on, God allows himself to be humiliated and crucified in the Son in order to free the oppressors and the oppressed from oppression and to open up to them the situation of free, sympathetic humanity. Where is God in our suffering? God is on the cross, dying for us. Well, our human story is currently upside down, disjointed and backwards. We are made in the image of the triune God, God in community with himself. In this pandemic, our God image suffers violent fragmentation because we are learning all too well that we are not designed to live this part apart from one another. We are not meant to go at life alone. We are not made for quarantine. So, how are we to live in these unrivaled days? What does it mean to imitate Christ today? In this upheaval and harrowing isolation, perhaps what we truly need is to recover the biblical tradition of lament. Lament is what happens when people ask why and don't get the answer they want, or perhaps don't get any answer at all. In the book of Psalms, laments comprise more than one-third of all the poems, and it is the crucified God, Jesus, who on this Good Friday quotes a psalm of lament when he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? This plea is not a defiant cry of abandonment. No, Jesus, while suffering on the cross for our sin, is worshiping his Father through lament. Jesus, in his darkest hour, remembers the songs he learned as a child and recites them to his Father as he dies. In Christ's deepest lamentation, he, together with the Father and the Spirit, deal with our sin and adopt us into the life of the Trinity. We are brought into the fellowship with God as Christ bears our sin by becoming sin for us. Christ feels our suffering by entering it with us. And in his suffering, Christ redeems the whole of creation, just as he promised. In 2013, my sister Chloe and I took a trip across the United Kingdom. While we were in Dublin, Chloe brought me this Celtic cross. In the Celtic cross, the paradox is revealed. The world itself, the circle, is held and enfolded in the cross. Friends, Christ's arms on the cross are stretched out, encompassing the world itself. Christ in his suffering bears and redeems our suffering. And so today truly is a Good Friday, because on this day, we re-enter the story of the crucified God who bears our sin and welcomes us into the life of God, into what it means to be fully human. On Good Friday, Christ shows us that there is no pit so deep that Christ's love is not deeper still. There is no suffering so great that cannot be redeemed by his own suffering. And there is no invitation so wide and free as Christ's extended arms on the cross, welcoming us into union with himself. If you have not felt welcomed or even knew that you were welcomed into the life of God, Christ extends his arms of love and forgiveness and adoption to you. Do not be afraid to entrust yourself to this God who experiences and redeems your suffering and sin. Christ invites you to come and find your life in him. This Good Friday, may you enter more deeply into the life of the Beloved, to know Christ as the one who sets us free and who invites us to participate with him as he makes all things new. Would you pray with me? We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.